Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. Gary Moore is our guest. Gary, once upon a time, was the president, vice president, I should say, of investments with Payne Webber before he started his own company, Gary Moore & Company. He's the author of a number of books, including Spiritual Investments from the Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton. His newest book is called Faithful Finances 101. And he's the guy who helps us think about investing in an ethical way, maybe even in a spiritual way. He's our good friend, Gary Moore. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you again, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Gary, since the last time you were with us, we haven't had a bunch. You were here in November, and we haven't had a bunch of other shoes to drop. But my observation about where we are right now, Gary, is that 2008 is the year that we got the bad news. 2009, for at least for Main Street, is the year we begin to pay for all that bad news. What do you think?
I think you're right, Jim. People ask me, are things getting better? And it really depends on whether you're talking about the economy or the stock market.
Which are two different things.
Completely different, and that's what people don't understand. They're sort of congruous, Jim, but the stock market is what we call a leading indicator. It's not doesn't care what the headlines in the paper are today, which is why my clients never understand. If they read the headlines in the newspaper today, that's news. Wall Street doesn't care. They have all those analysts and all those hedge fund managers to look out 6 months to a year from now and know what's going on. And I think they may have anticipated back in October, November, the worst. However, I don't think the economy has necessarily seen the worst. I think you're going to see quite a bit more bad news in the next 6 months or so.
Yeah, probably so. What are you advising your people about investing right now?
Well, actually, I started picking up a few stocks. You know, you and I have discussed many times on the air that Sir John Templeton back in 1999 said two things. Number one, he said the Dow will go to 1 million during the next century, but he said it will also be flat during the next decade. And we've now gone exactly a decade, and it's been flat.
Yeah.
But I went
the buy and hold philosophy hasn't proven to be a good one in the last 10 years, has it?
No, and John told people that. He told them that if they were buying the S&P index funds from Vanguard, which was the most popular mutual fund at the time, that they would break even. He said that's the one thing he would not own in the country. Today, everybody's buying treasuries, of course, and I really worry. I'm not sure John would buy treasuries because they're so darn popular right now. People never understand popular investments have been bid up, Jim, and I think there's a bubble in treasuries today. That's one thing I'm telling people. Second thing I'm telling them is that there's a guy named Jeremy Grantham who's, I called him a grumpy old man the other day, just like Sir John was before he passed away. And he's been predicting all of this. He was saying almost exactly the same thing Sir John was years ago about falling house prices, too much debt, stock market being overvalued, and so on. And Grantham the other day, he's been on record for a long time predicting that the S&P 500 could drop to the 800 level, which is exactly where it went in October, you know. And Jeremy picked up selectively some quality stocks at that point. According to the news, I don't know him personally, but long story short, that was one of the signals I was watching for. I watch a couple of people now that mimic Sir John, in my view, and so I've been picking up a few stocks that are really cheap today.
There's anything in particular? Anything you can talk about? You can mention?
No, you know, that's illegal for me to do, Jim, with me being in the business. If somebody bought that, I could really get in a lot of trouble.
Any sectors you like?
Well, yeah, I think the oil sector, for one thing, has just gotten beaten down unmercifully. Did you see 60 Minutes last night, Jim?
No.
Well, the main story was that how the bubble last year, which I've maintained for a long time, was not caused by supply and demand. You can't figure out why double and then fall by two-thirds.
I said that, too.
And their special last night was on how Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs had become the largest oil operators in the country and basically caused the bubble. And I've believed that for a long time. I didn't know it was Goldman and Morgan, but you assume they're all doing it, but they were the two major players again because they're the two biggest assets.
But I still think that the biggest culprit was our government refusing to, by putting a cap on where we can drill for oil.
Well, that's part of it, Jim, but they pointedly showed last night how...
That it was speculators?
That supply was increasing at a time demand was already falling due to the recession, and prices were still rising.
Hold on to that thought, Gary. We're going to take a quick break, folks. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find my blog, jimsblog.biz. You can find my knowledge base, askjim.biz. You can find the newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead, at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And all the other things, you can listen to the show there. You can listen to it in the archive section. You can listen to the show I did last week and the one 9 years ago. So we've got them all there, and also thousands of articles, thousands of archives, and hundreds of Brain Trust members. Now over 1,500 strong, the largest community of small business experts in the world, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Gary Moore is our guest. Gary is the author of Faithful Finances, and we're talking about the conflict. I guess part of what we're talking about, Gary, is the conflict between Wall Street and Main Street. I've been saying for a long time, my audience knows this, Gary, for 3 or 4 years now, I've been saying, and I didn't exactly know how to explain it. I just had this instinct that Wall Street and Main Street were at cross purposes. And now those chickens have come home to roost, haven't they?
Yeah, but yes, and we've seen the capitulation of that, or the crescendo of that, Jim. But that's exactly why I started to leave my job as a senior VP on Wall Street for seminary 20, 30 years ago now. In the junk bond things of Michael Milken and all of that, and the SNLs and so on, I began to realize that, Jim. And frankly, this time, and what I did, by the way, Jim, and this is important to understand, is I joined what's called the socially responsible investing movement. Now, that's got a lot of liberal connotations and all that, I know, but there's something to it. In essence, what it says is we're financiers, we believe in business, but we believe in doing it responsibly toward Main Street, if you want to use that language.
Mm-hmm.
And today, over 10% of Wall Street's money is influenced by that movement. And that's what we're beginning to see is people are not only asking...
Is that a growing number?
It's growing about three times faster than investing in general.
With all that's happened in the last few months, is that going to give that number a bullet?
No question, Jim. Every time Wall Street screws up really bad, people make a move toward this. And let me read you. Steve Forbes is a friend of yours.
Yep.
Let me read you something.
Steve's going to be on the show this week.
Well, let me read you something that his grandfather wrote in 1944. I'll send it to you for your new book. Listen to this. The sins of big business and high finance were responsible for the overwhelming voting of the New Deal into power. Therefore, any and every act calculated to bring business into disrepute is infinitely regrettable. And, there's a lot of people thinking, we're in for New Deal 2, and everybody in the Wall Street Journal on Friday, Steve Moore made the case that it's just, overreach on the part of government and so on. And he did not acknowledge what Mr. Forbes knew, because he lived through it back in the Depression. And, Jim, your sentiments are exactly reflective of Mr. Forbes.
All those 50, 60 years ago. And, where do we go from here, Gary? What's the answer? How do we get ourselves out of this?
Well, I think people...
And we're never going to... You know what, Gary? We're human beings. We've had these kinds of cycles for centuries. All you gotta do is read the Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds that was written in the middle 1800s. You know, talking about these kinds of things. So we're never going to stop them. But how do we keep them from being so destructive?
Well, that's the fourth time I've heard about that book this week. I actually wrote about it. Do you know John Templeton? That was the first book he recommended we read after the Bible.
Yeah.
It says the same thing. But long story short, he liked that book so much, he had his foundation press reprint it. And you can get it from the Templeton Foundation. But the answer to your question, that describes the problem, is that human beings forget and repeat the same mistake over and over. But Drucker's book, Post-Capitalist Society, was absolutely prophetic. Back in, you know, in the mid-90s, he did an interview with Forbes magazine where he said CEO compensation, he said it's a disgusting spectacle, he called it, and it's like watching pigs at the trough. And he was critical of Wall Street as well. And long story short, he wrote that book, and Chapter 5 says that we're going to have the biggest change since Plato and Aristotle. That's what we're working through. It's what John Templeton called financial chaos back in 05. And long story short, out of it is going to come, hopefully, what Drucker called a society of responsible organizations, where organizations are not just going to say, you know, how do I get reelected on the part of government, or how do I increase this quarter's profits, but they're going to have a longer perspective, and they're going to begin saying, how do I stay in office by helping people?
And do you think that part of that scenario will be the virtual end of quarterly guidance?
I think that's already shattering. It's kind of stupid if you think about it. I mean,
It's not a friend of the marketplace. I'll tell you that.
Well, read the book, The Black Swan, that everybody's talking about. You know, how many people you know really predicted what happened last year? My quarterly newsletter is going to be called The Year of the Black Swan. Nobody really predicted what happened.
That's right.
And it's kind of silly. If we can't predict that kind of stuff, how are we going to predict the penny or two that we, you know, are going to do earnings
right.
for the quarter?
Right.
It's stupid. And it just leads to fraud and manufacturing earnings, and Wall Street ought to just quit it.
Hey, Gary, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Gary Moore is our guest. He's the author of Faithful Finances 101. That's his new book. But my favorite is still going to be Spiritual Investments by Gary Moore. Tintail, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Gary Moore. Gary is a good friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, author of Faithful Finances 101. Gary, give us your website, please.
Financialseminary.org, O-R-G.
So check that out, Financial Seminary. They can find your books there, too, can't they?
Yes, and they're usually on Amazon.
And you guys are in the process of re-releasing, aren't you, some of Sir John Templeton's works?
No, it's actually a little different. What the foundation has asked us to do at the memorial service, John's son asked me, what would John say about the current market and so on? And I told him, and they thought that might be of interest to others. So they're putting together a series of columns at templeton.org on what would Sir John say. And in the next week or two, you're going to see those where close friends of John tell people what they think that he would say about the economy. And you've got, by the way, a letter from 05.
Right.
My friend shared that, where he predicted financial chaos, to use his words, and even went so far as to predict that the government would be taking over an awful lot of our assets these days and so on. It was a remarkable letter. So they're going to share that, and then some of us, like one of my columns I wrote, well, you know, he sort of predicted the S&P would drop, and when it hit 800, I began buying some stuff, And because Sir John also said that while we would face financial chaos for a few years, the Dow will also rise to the 1 million level during this coming century. So I don't think he was hopeless. He just thought we had a real difficult period to get through.
He could see some baggage we had to get rid of in the meantime.
He always saw an awful lot more than what we do. You know, there
when he applied his vision, it wasn't for a year or two, it was for 10 and 20 years, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I sat one time at a foundation meeting and heard him describe what he hoped the foundation's doing 500 years from now.
Wow.
I mean, most people on Wall Street think about the next quarter. John,
that's the quarterly problem we got, yeah.
John was always way, way ahead of those guys and way, way beyond. And, you know, I wanted to tell you, Jim, you know, he was almost prophetic in his views over the years and predictions and so on. There's some people think prophets are just fortune tellers. You know, the reality is that prophets saw realities that other people couldn't see. And what they did is they say, okay, keep this up, building up of debt and speculation and so on. Here's what's going to happen. And John called it financial chaos. And, you know, frankly, nobody on Wall Street listened to him, so today we have financial chaos. And it's
when you're focusing on this next quarter, you're not going to listen to somebody who has some thoughts that go 500 years out.
No, you're not going to do it. And, Jim, that's why the prophets always went to the mountaintop. If you get up there, you can see things more clearly and in perspective and from a greater distance. You know, on Wall Street, we get so focused with what the market's doing today and what the quarterly earnings report is that we can't look out. I mean, who's going to care? Some guy on Wall Street can undermine Wall Street. He makes $10 million today doing a deal that's going to blow up 3 years down the road. What's he care?
He's going to get his money and go. Right.
Exactly.
And isn't that where the breakdown is right now, Gary? How are we going to fix that?
Well, my view is what you've been describing, all of the pathologies we have were once addressed by religion.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a guy who won a Nobel Prize up at the University of Chicago who's actually a sociologist who predicts a huge religious reawakening in this country. And that's my answer. Now, it won't be the answer for everyone, but I'm kind of doing what I can to show people that, you know, that prudence is nothing but a spiritual moderation of fear and greed. It's right in between, Jim. And you can take those extremes out of our lives. Alan Greenspan once testified to Congress, there's no tool for changing human nature. Well, we've always said there is, that humans can become more divine through spiritual training. And a lot of people just won't believe that, guys like Greenspan. But Sir John believed it, and that's what we're working for.
Gary, last thoughts. We've got about 45 seconds. What do you see coming up in the next six to nine months or so? Let's say 6 to 12 months.
Economic deterioration, choppy stock market.
Choppy through the year?
Through the first 6 months. But if I had to guess, good possibility 50-50 we'll test the lows again, because we usually do. But a general improvement. I think credit is becoming better. There's an old saying, remember this one, Jim, that bulls are just bears with money. Okay, if you got money, you got to put it somewhere, and you're not going to put it in 0% treasuries forever. That money's going to go to work.
Faithfulfinances.org, right?
That's it.
That's the website. The book is called
Financial Seminary.
I'm sorry. Financialseminary.org. The book is Faithful Finances 101. Gary Moore will be back. Thanks, Gary. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.